This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hey, everyone, and welcome. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and this is an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. And today, our topic is wow science. I can't wait to share with you today's episode. It's episode 195, and you'll be able to find the show notes at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. Today, I want to thank our sponsor, the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, and Vintage Homeschool Moms specifically wants to thank our sponsor, Sony Pictures, featuring the movie Smurfs The Lost Village. You can find out more information at smurfsmovie.com, and be sure to check out the Christian study guide for this movie on our show notes page on podcast 195 at Vintage Homeschool Moms. And also visit affirmsfilms.com, where you can find out more about really good movies for your family. Hey, everybody, please share this show with a friend. Even an email with a link is an awesome way to help me out. If you could go to iTunes or any podcast player and give us a star rating, that would be great. I just love to read your comments on iTunes, and I really appreciate you guys doing that for me. Well, guys, today we're going to have a blast, or should I say this is going to be a wow show. I'm an enthusiast of teaching science, as you know, and I love the hands-on approach. We're going to discuss some wonderful experiments and activities to get our kids excited, but most important, it is the goal of mine, and I hope yours as well, is to encourage your kids to love learning and encourage them to start exploring on your own. One of the things that I love about hands-on learning is that it doesn't matter what the age of your child is, whether they're in preschool, elementary, middle, high school, or even college. Kids love to be part of the action. Recently, my son and daughter both took biology classes on the college level, and I was shocked because neither of them had a full lab experience. Yes, they had lab as part of their biology classes, but as homeschoolers, when we did biology lab, we did dissections and we studied a ton of stuff. I was shocked when I found out they didn't even do one dissection. In fact, one of the experiments my son was complaining about was one that we did in elementary school. So parents, you know, sometimes we worry that are we, you know, teaching our kids enough when we homeschool? And I'm going to tell you, yes, you are. So, you know, continue the good work. The other thing, too, is I'm going to tell you a few things that are important to me. And again, I hope these are important to you. You know, we want to give our kids a good foundation in science because it's like setting them up for success in life. I really believe that science helps your kids think. It helps them focus. It helps them figure out a problem. It's not just cut and dry. It's not, you know, simply a math fact where, you know, 5 + 5 = 10. With science, you have to do some research and, you know, kind of think about what could possibly happen. So you're formulating a guess or a hypothesis of what you think is going to happen. It's an educated guess. When they're little, they're just going to guess. But when they're older, it should be an educated guess based on a little bit of research that they've done. Now, before I give you some great and easy experiments to do, I want to explain what I consider foundations in teaching science. So here we go. You ready? Felice's cardinal rules to teaching kids, again, forming a really good foundation in science. The first is that science is experimental, and that means we may or may not have a successful project. I've shared with you in previous podcasts, one I did on science fair, that my daughter won her second year in the science fair on a regional level with an experiment that didn't quite work out. However, she was able to explain what she thinks went wrong and how she would correct that, and then she went ahead and did that the next year. The second is that science is observable and measurable. It is something that a child can perform and try to figure out the why behind it, which brings us to number three, and this is a pet peeve of mine. Science is not magic. Saying it's magic precludes finding an answer. If we say science is magic, then a kid's going to shrug and say, well, then I don't need to figure it out. You know, only the magician knows the answer. Well, we want the children to have that wow experience, which science can bring about, but also to be able to understand the underlying reason of why we did the experiment, as well as what they can learn from it. Number four, science is repeatable. If you're successful, you can recreate the experiment with the same results over and over again. You know, for those of us that are authors, we call our books a draft. So you've got the first draft, second draft, third draft, fourth draft, and even, you know, the printed version of it can actually be a draft when you go back and you're revising it. So with science, it's repeatable. You should theoretically be able to, you know, totally create that experiment again and have the same exact results. However, if you mess up one thing, it won't work, right? And so we have to learn from that, and we can learn from so many great scientists, and you can do a research on Thomas Edison for one, when he used all these different monofilaments trying to get the one that was going to work for his, he was trying to get the light bulb to stay lit for the longest amount of time, and he finally found one that worked. And when he didn't, he said he now had something like 99, you know, ways it didn't work until he found to the one that did work. So we have to have that kind of perseverance and teach our children. And what a wonderful character quality that is, right? We try to teach our kids a lot of different character qualities that come naturally with science. For example, patience and waiting and watching if they're observing something, or you know, perseverance if they're trying something over and over again. All right, number five, science piques curiosity. It asks what if and open-ended questions, and it requires the child to think, as I shared earlier, you know, what is their educated guess or their hypothesis? And all of these things are so important for you to understand as a parent, but more so to pass on to your children. You know, I realize many of you use scientific methods of education that work on conceptual ideas and maybe incorporate some nature science, which is great. But I think kids who are not introduced to experimentation at an early age tend to hate science, like I did. I learned science by reading it in a book, so I thought I hated science. And it really was the idea of what I thought science was. I thought it was a bunch of dull facts that a teacher read to us. And sometimes a teacher would create an experiment at the beginning, you know, at the top of the, or the beginning of class. And then we would talk about it, or we'd have to write up the experiment. But we didn't participate. We were just watching. And I know parents, you know, I know science makes a mess. You know, I know that we have so many things to do and we don't want to get, you know, bogged down by trying to figure out something that may or may not work. But if I was going to make a prediction, I'd hazard a guess and say that 80% of homeschool parents teach science by reading it from a book with very little experimentation. You know, some years back, there was a science camp that kids went to. It really wasn't a camp. It was almost like a boot camp, I guess. So like for a weekend, you could take your homeschooler, high schooler, and pay hundreds of dollars and do science experiments in biology, chemistry, or physics, for example, for the weekend, and you could count it for a year. And people flocked to these events and paid hundreds of dollars. And I was incredulous that anyone would do that and pay so much for something that you could do on your own, especially since I guarantee you the kids did not have enough time to learn to really think through the experiments and to discover the solutions on their own. And I cannot imagine that it was truly a learning experience. we don't want to just say, okay, we did a science lab and check it off our list. In fact, you can use these experiments that I'm going to share with you in just a little bit to encourage your children to learn. And it's going to be exciting for them, especially with some of these. And like I said, I really dug deep in my memory to come up with 10 that we have done in the past and that were really, really fun. And there's some new twists on this that I'm going to be sharing with you. In a previous podcast, I talked about a bottle rocket that you can make with the kids, and it's really fun. And I found a new twist on how to do that, so I'm going to share that with you in just a little bit. So please, parents, think about setting up a home lab kit. And I have a couple of podcasts, Homeschool Answers, Vintage Homeschool Moms 150, that touches on the topic. And I also have Tried and True Science Labs, which is another podcast. And I'll put those links on Vintage Homeschool Moms Podcast 195 for you. So when we come back from our commercial break, I'll share some great ways to incorporate wow science into your homeschool. We'll be right back.
Now, the Blue Crew is back.
Let's go have some fun.
In their first fully animated adventure.
Nailed it.
To escape a dangerous, undiscovered world, the Smurfs will have to team up with a whole new tribe.
A village full of girls.
Hey, I'm freaking out, you guys.
Smurfs, The Lost Village, rated PG, exclusively from Affirm Films. Get a free Bible-based discussion guide. Visit AffirmFilms.com to download it for free and enjoy great discussions with your whole family about the importance of purpose, friendship, honesty, and loyalty, as seen in Smurfs, The Lost Village. Now playing.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back. So are you ready for 10 of my favorite wow science activities? Well, I can't wait to share these with you. All right, so if you've listened to my other podcast on fun activities that teach, I talk about baking soda and vinegar. This is still one of the number one favorite science activities and experiments, and you can take it to another step, which I'm going to share with you. So baking soda and vinegar to blow up a little Ziploc baggie, or you can blow up a balloon. So if you're doing a baggie, you're going to take like one of those little Dixie cups and put little paper ones and put about a half to a third of that little cup full of baking soda. You're going to stick that in the baggie, and then you're going to carefully pour some vinegar on the outside edge. Zip the baggie closed and make sure you're outside and give it to the children, and they can shake it up, and then it can possibly explode and they're going to get stuff on them. Try to see if you can figure out, and this is the activity for the kids, how little of baking soda or vinegar you can to just keep it inflated and not blowing up. So if it's inflated, what you'll have to experiment with that, and that's part of the fun of science. And you're going to explain to the kids that this compound, these two products, make a chemical reaction, and that's carbon dioxide. We blow out carbon dioxide. When we breathe in oxygen, our bodies take the oxygen, the part that our body can use, and we breathe out carbon dioxide during the day. Trees breathe in carbon dioxide. At night, they breathe it out. So, you know, the really cool thing about carbon dioxide is that it is used to combat fires. So what you can do is have that baggie and light a candle, again, outside parent supervision, and then you're going to open up that baggie just a little bit and let out some of that carbon dioxide, that gas, and it will blow out the candle, and it's really cool. The other is to use a balloon and blow that up as well. You'll have to take a funnel and put the baking soda, the funnel into the tip of the balloon, and put the baking soda in the funnel and shake it in, and then pour in some vinegar and quickly tie it off and watch that. Or another way to do it is to put it in the balloon and then dump it into a plastic, empty drinking bottle. And that's fun as well. And one of the things you do with the children to make it a quote unquote real experiment is you give them scientific method sheets. And I have some blank ones on the podcast show notes at Vintage Homeschool Moms 195. And then you can have them go through those, those questions that that you're asking. And for the little kids, I have some boxes so they can draw before and after pictures. And that helps them as well. So I know little ones have a hard time writing all of it. The second is, again, it deals with surface tension, but it's also a really cool one. So you're going to use milk, food color, and soap, and that means liquid soap. So, you know, you're going to talk to the kids about density and how the milk is thicker than the water. And so what you're going to do is take, and you're going to use whole milk. If you use half and half is too thick, ask me how I know. And like 1% milk and 2% doesn't work as well as whole milk. And I know we're wasting milk here, parents, so you may just want to do a small bowl of it. But if you can get a glass bowl, it's great. And you're going to fill it about half full or a third full with the milk. And then you're going to get a dropper and then drop 4 different food colorings. Eat one drop and don't mix it up. And then you're going to take liquid soap and you can either squirt some out, have a tiny little squirt bottle, or it's hard to manipulate a big bottle. I know if you're like me, you've got the huge bottles of liquid soap. So what you're going to do is you're going to take either a straw or a pipette, one of those little droppers, and then you're going to take a little bit and you're going to drop a little bit of soap on each of the food coloring and just sit back and watch. And what you're going to see is how all of those colors are going to mix together, and you can add a little bit more soap. You know, again, you're going to be, you know, writing down 1 drop, 2 drop, 3 drops of soap and how many it takes to get the colors moving. And the surface tension is going to be broken with the soap, and that is going to cause the mixing of the colors in the milk. And you can track that food coloring has got a water base, and you're going to track how that soap is breaking up those molecules and causing them to sink down into the milk. And it's really cool because the milk is thick enough that it slows down the effect so that you can observe it. The third is a surface tension experiment as well. So this one you're going to use water, pepper, and soap again, the liquid detergent soap. And what you're going to do is take a cup of water and then just take a pepper shaker and have the kids, you know, sprinkle pepper. Don't be cheap. Get it all over the surface. And so you've got water and some pepper floating on top of the water. And you can talk again about, you know, density and, you know, the floating and sinking. And then you're going to take 1 drop of soap. Again, you're going to use dish soap, and you are going to drop that in the middle and observe what happens. And what happens is the pepper just all immediately, that tension is broken and it just goes to the side of the container. And it's really, really cool. And the kids are going to want to do that again and again. And you can talk about surface tension. One of the things that we did when the kids were preschoolers, and this is not really in the WOW, I have a section at the end where they didn't make my top 10. So I really should wait, but I wanted to share with you this here, because when you're talking about surface tension and floating and sinking, one of the things I did with the little kids when it was, you know, a rainy day and, cause at bath time, everybody's tired, but we would do this really during a rainy day, and I'd have the kids put on bathing suits and they would get into the tub and I would give them all kinds of different things. And we would talk about floating and sinking. They could even make a paper boat that they would make the day before or wait for a rainy day. And then we'd take that to the tub. And how long will a paper boat float? We can use aluminum foil boats and then set things in the aluminum foil boat, because that, of course, would float longer. Until we could get it to sink. And it was really cool, and the kids loved it, and it was a really fun activity. And my whole thing was fun activities that teach, and then we could, you know, write down in our notes what we had learned that day. The fourth one that's really a wow is Mentos and soda. So you need to go look this up on YouTube. I do have a link that I'll put on there for you from a really cool website that had this. And apparently someone had done this experiment a long time ago, and it made its notoriety when the internet started getting, really big where people could share this kind of thing. And so if you've not seen this, this is a really awesome experiment, but you can do this at home. And I would really use goggles for this experiment. And really all you need is a 2-liter bottle of soda. They recommend using diet soda because it's not as sticky as regular soda to clean up. I would highly recommend you do this out in the yard, somewhere away from the neighbors, because this can really go up high. So you're going to take Coke or Pepsi, and you're going to drop in 7 Mentos tablets. And one of the ways they talked about doing it was taking those Mentos, that's a candy, tablets, stacking 7 and rolling it in like a little paper roll. And so you're going to open the soda top, and you're going to put this Mentos in. And then one of the things that they did, well, I can talk about why it works. But one of the things that they did was when they dropped it in, it just shot up like a really strong rocket. But you need something to set that in so that when you turn it over, it has that base to take off. So like I said, I will give you that link, and you could look at that. And one of the reasons that it works, and again, you can read about this on the website, is because it's just like the baking soda and vinegar, where it's a carbon dioxide mix and there's that huge chemical reaction. It's the same thing with the Mentos and soda, but it's so much further, goes so much further. But it's also because, soda already has bubbles in it. It's got carbon dioxide that's pumped into it. And the Mentos is the candy that has tiny pits. And because of these tiny little pits in the candy, it just allows the bubbles to rise so much faster. And it pushes the liquid out the other way. And that's why the liquid sprays everywhere. So you can either, they do it as a rocket, but you can also set the bottle down, put the Mentos in there, run away, and then just watch this huge geyser spray up. And I have that link on the site. Or you can figure out a way to invert it and have a cork on the bottom where that would shoot off. But again, I would do that with somebody who really knows what they're doing. All right, number 5, and these are really not in any order. I mean, if I had to probably do number 1, it would probably be the Mentos and soda, because that really is a wow experiment. Number 5 is oil and water. Okay, we know oil and water don't mix. Just think of your favorite salad dressing. I make Italian dressing, and I always have to let it sit out, because if you know you're using really good olive oil if it gets hard in the refrigerator. If you're using olive oil and it doesn't get hard, then, and I'm in Florida, so we refrigerate everything, even our bread. And I know that's not a good thing to do. You're actually supposed to freeze your bread and not refrigerate it. But if we leave our stuff out, it will mold very quickly because of our humidity level. So I will take out my Italian dressing and set it on the counter before I make dinner, if I'm going to use that dressing, so that it gives it time to get warmer, or I'll even run it under warm water to break that up. But it doesn't mix well, right? So we always have to shake up our salad dressing. Well, when we think of oil spills in the ocean, it's the same thing. The oil floats and there's these gobs. But a fun experiment is using water that's colored with water, or oil, and then water that's colored with food coloring. And so you can do several things. You can mix equal parts. There are some really cool experiments where you've got 2 glass beakers that are exactly the same size, and you put one completely full of oil and the other one completely full of water, and you invert the oil on top of the water, and you have like a little playing card in between, and you pull the card very carefully out. And it recommends you do it in the bathtub. I can see why. But we're on septic tank, and my husband would not be happy if I let all that oil down the drain. So I would do it somewhere like, a tub that you could throw out, or somewhere where the oil isn't going to be infecting the ground. But what you would do is you would invert the oil on top of the water, and nothing will really happen because the oil stays to the top and the water to the bottom. But if you do it the other way, where the oil is on the bottom and the water is on the top, the water will flow down because of gravity, and then you'll see a really cool kind of a mixture. So there's a little different alternative you can do with that that's really fun. And you can use a big, like a glass vase. And you'll need a vase, food coloring, a lantern, the type that you can set something on, like a big lantern type of flashlight, oil, and one Alka-Seltzer. Let me read that again. A vase, food coloring, a lantern type flashlight, oil, and one Alka-Seltzer tablet. So and don't let the kids eat Alka-Seltzer. It can really, people have died eating Alka-Seltzer without putting it in water first. So just be careful with that and don't let the kids have that. So first take a large vase and put about 5 to 6 little drops of food coloring in it. And then you can add 1/4 cup of water and you stir it. And just look at it. If you want it to be darker, you can. And then you're going to fill the container about half full of oil. So of course, what are we doing as parents going, oh my gosh, I'm not going to use my good oil. So you can either use oil that you fried with. I'm fine with that. Just make sure you strain it and not have a bunch of floaties in there because it won't be as pretty. Or just look for some kind of oil on sale. And then you're going to take this glass container and you're going to have the colored water on the bottom and the oil on the top, right? And you're going to put it on a lantern flashlight and, you know, try to see if you can get into a dark room or pull the curtains. And then you're going to place the water and oil on the top of the flashlight, turn the flashlight on, and then you're going to pop in your Alka-Seltzer and then watch the really cool show that takes place where the Alka-Seltzer is bubbling and it causes the water and oil to mix. Now, it doesn't really mix, which is why it's so cool, because you're going to have round bubbles of oil that is in the middle of the colors, and it's really cool. It looks like one of those lava lamps. Really cool. I used to have a lamp, or it wasn't a lamp, it was a one of those barometers that sat on my table for forever until one of the kids knocked it off and there was oil and water, colored water everywhere. It was quite a mess, but they are so cool looking. Number 6, a remote control and a mirror. I don't know if you've ever done this with your kids, but this was one of their, you know, really wow moments. Now, these are the kind of things that you give your children and you say, you give them a little hand mirror and a remote control and you say, how can you turn on the TV with this? And they're going to point it to the TV and hold the mirror in their hand. So you're going to explain, they're going to have to use that mirror. And, you know, you're going to explain a little bit about what a remote control is and how it transmits to the television and how they, you know, the two devices are talking to each other basically. And so they'll eventually figure out that they can have their back to the TV, use the mirror, and ricochet the remote to the television. And that's a really cool thing. And then that just gives you a whole bunch of different things you can talk about, trajectory and, you know, light rays and all kinds of things. Another is number 7, a battery, a strip of aluminum foil, and a tiny light bulb. And this is like the flashlights that are sitting in your drawer that don't work. You know which ones I'm talking about, or the ones that have the batteries that are all corroded. Well, you can use that tiny little light bulb, and you can actually buy those. And I used to have like a little container full of them. But one year this is how I started our school year, is I gave the kids a D battery, a little strip of foil, and this tiny light bulb. And I said, let's see who can make the light bulb light first. And most kids are going to take the battery, make a thin strip with the foil, put the battery on top of the aluminum foil, and they're going to set the foil on top of the battery, and then they're going to set the light bulb on top and expect that to work. But what they are doing is they are breaking that conductor, okay? They're breaking that with the foil. The top of the light bulb needs to sit on top of the battery with nothing underneath it. And then they just have to take that little piece of foil and touch the side of the light bulb and it will light up. But it is really a fun thing. And the kids had a blast trying to figure it out. And if one child figured it out, they wouldn't tell the other one until they did. And it was really cool. Number 8, and this one I think is hysterical because the boys hated it and the girls loved it. But you take vinegar and some chicken bones. Of course, you're removing the chicken from the bones. And, you know, I just love it as homeschoolers. You know, you're saving all kinds of stuff, aren't you, for experiments? And, you know, you wash the bones and then have the kids take like a mayonnaise jar, again, something that you saved, or a jelly jar, and put the chicken bones in it and cover it with vinegar. And they're going to, of course, you're writing everything down. And this is a given with all of this. I didn't go through, you know, exactly the scientific method and how to do this. But they're going to write down, you know, what day it is. And they put the chicken bones in the vinegar, covered it with vinegar, screwed the top, and left it on the counter. And in about a month, which is about how long it takes, and again, perseverance, patience, observation, you know, every couple of days I let them take out the chicken bones, and I wouldn't let them stick their fingers in there, you know, unless they washed their hands and everything. But you could use, you know, some kind of pinchers and get the bone out and just check the bone. And at the end of a month, it was really cool because they could take that bone out and it just bent the bone. And we talked about, you know, how the vinegar removed the calcium from the bones that made them hard. And that's a whole nother lesson in itself, the importance of calcium in our diets and what it can do if we don't have calcium in our diets. So again, all really good lessons that we can learn and share with our children. And the reason I said the boys hated it is the boys, when they saw that bone bend, they thought that was so gross. And the girls are like, this is so cool. And so, you know, I'd say to the boys, here, do you want to try, you know, bending it? My boys were like, no way. So it was cute. All right. Number nine, I've already talked about with how you can use the carbon dioxide to put out a candle. But this one is, number nine is how fire needs oxygen in order to stay lit. And so you're going to light a candle and you're going to invert a jar over it. So a bigger jar than the candle, obviously, and you're going to let the kids watch how long it takes before that flame goes out. And you're going to talk about how a candle needs oxygen in order to stay lit and explain the purpose behind that. And again, great research there. Number 10 is a fun one. It's the invisible ink. Remember, I'm not saying that this is magic, but we are going to squeeze a lemon. You can use real lemon juice. It doesn't work as well as a real lemon. So you're going to squeeze a lemon, use a Q-tip, and write on a piece of paper. You can carefully hold the paper over the candle, and yes, outside is better. It's very difficult to do without scorching the paper, so you can use an iron for the same results, but you have to let the paper dry first, and then you're going to watch the words or the drawing or whatever appear. So another really cool and wow type of experiment, and you can explain to them how that happens and how the heat forms a reaction with the lemon juice. Now, these things are fun, but they didn't make it to the wow list. There's a whole bunch of different ones. Like you can do rainbow colors in a jar. And again, this is kind of like the oil and water experiment, but you can use a lot of different types of liquids. And, you know, you can use honey, like corn syrup, dish soap. They recommend either Dawn, which is blue, or Palmolive, which is green. Rubbing alcohol, water, food color, and a dropper. And one of the things it did was it told you exactly what to do in this experiment. And I told you, okay, so let me finish that thought. And so that's awesome. But if you're just following a recipe, that's what you're doing. And in all the experiments that I gave you, except for maybe the Mentos one, because that really is a huge reaction. If you're going to do the rocket one, you need a really strong base and you need to work with somebody who has done it before. You're not going to do this experiment and go, hey, kids, we're going to try something and have all the kids around you because someone could get hurt. You can do it where the soda's open, it's on a table, the kids are back, and somebody like an adult is going to drop the Mentos in, and then they're going to watch that huge outpouring of soda, you know, where it's just sitting on a table and the soda shoots straight up. It's really one more for the wow, you know, reaction more so than the kids are actually going to do it. When they're older and they're teens, this is where you're going to get into the science behind it, and the kids are going to explain to you how that happened. You know, what if you used a cup, you know, not necessarily a glass cup because that could actually burst, but a plastic cup, and put a half a cup of soda and put 1/4 of a Mentos. They can do a lot of different things, and that's what science is. Every single experiment I gave you, that was one of the criteria that you have to be able to do different things with it and experiment. It's not just do this and this will happen. Even the candle where you're putting out that flame, I'm not telling you exactly how long that's going to take because it's different. I don't know how big the candle is. I don't know how big your jar is. So these are things that, you know, they're open-ended and the kids can have such a great time. This other one I really liked with the layering because it really explained density in a really good way using honey and corn syrup and things like that. And, that's why it didn't make my list because it's more of, you know, something that you're following a recipe. This other one didn't make my list as well because, again, I think I've seen it done too many times. You can take a stalk of celery, put it in colored water, and then the stalk of celery, it will show how the celery is absorbing the water, similar to how a flower or a plant, you know, drinks water out of a container. But the other cool thing is you could take a white flower and do the same thing, and it will turn colored, and that's really cool. There was one that I saw that was, can you poke a hole through a potato with a straw? So you would take a raw potato, and to make it work, you're going to put your finger over the hole of a straw, and, you know, it's going to cause compression within the straw where the straw gets really hard. And when you force that straw into a potato, it will go through because the air pressure makes the straw hard. However, you have to still be strong to do that. And every time I've ever tried it, my boys could do it, but I never did it that successfully. The other is you can put a coin in a balloon and blow up the balloon and hold it on one end and shake it. And you can hear that, you know, funny sound of that the air that's causing the funny sound of that dime within the balloon. So that was kind of a fun thing. But again, you know, that to me wasn't as wow. The other that didn't make my wow list, and it's the last one I'm going to share with you, is can you pick up ice with a string? And you're going to put a couple of cubes of ice in a bowl, and you're going to use a wet piece of string, and you're just going to place it over on top of the ice. And one of the things you can do is take some salt that's going to cause the ice to melt more quickly, sprinkle the salt on top of the cube and wait a few minutes, and then try to lift the ice with the string. And the salt causes the water to melt, and it also allows the string to stick to the ice, and it remelts, you're able to lift that ice cube. So again, super fun activities that are some wow factors. And the reason that they are wow factors, again, parents, is because your kids are not having a cut and dry, you know, type of experiment where they've got all of the answers. There are some great experiment books out. The only fault they have is the answers are right there. So, you know, keep those answers from the kids, cover them, and let them have fun experimenting. Well, thanks so much for listening. This was podcast 195, and you can find the show notes at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. I really appreciate you guys. I appreciate all the emails I get, and also thanks for stopping by iTunes and giving us a star rating. And thanks to Sony and the movie Smurfs The Lost Village. You can find out more information at smurfsmovie.com. And be sure to check out that Christian study guide at affirmsfilms.com as well. Hey, thanks so much for listening, and take care. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.